As we come today, we're finishing up our study on the five pillars of marriage, and we have looked at listening to God, listening to each other, forgiving each other, and submitting to each other. And the fifth pillar today is about teaching the next generation that they too might know God. Because the one thing about marriage is if you are blessed that you have children, then the Lord has blessed you with these children to steward over them and to love them and to point them to Him, to teach them about Him, that they too might know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And I know we talked a little bit about this as we were talking about parenting children, but you can't separate marriage and parenting. If you've got children, you're married and you're a parent. But as we look at the home life today, from a spiritual standpoint, and are we doing this or do we need to start doing this if we're not doing this already, is to take the time to spend with our children to teach them the Word of God, to teach them that there is only one true and living God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that they're confronted in the world with all of these different ideologies, these different isms of whether it's Mormonism or Hinduism and all these other things out there and this pantheon of gods that they hear about from others and all that. But in the home, if it's a Christian home, they should be hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be hearing the Word of God read to them and shared with them, and they should hear you praying over them and praying for them to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to speak a little bit to fathers today because, as I talked about before, about the headship of the home and the spiritual leadership responsibility, a lot of times dads tend to want to push this off on mom, is that mom, maybe she does a better job at this, or she's a better teacher, or whatever excuses we use. But I'm here to tell you, men, it's primarily your responsibility to lead your household. And as you do that, not only for you and for your wife, but also for your children. And as we come today to Deuteronomy in chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it's one of the great passages of Scripture that points to the centrality of God in our lives and the need that He has first place in our life, and how that in everything that we do, we should acknowledge Him, we should worship Him, we should pray to Him, we should trust Him, we should depend upon Him, we should call upon Him in all things at all times. And as we come today to hear this message, I know a lot of times people will come in and they hear a sermon and they walk out the door and maybe say, well, that was a good message, or that there was a lot of good points to that message, and you know, things like that. But what we don't do is we don't apply that Word of God to our lives in our daily lives. And this particular scripture is talking about not only do we acknowledge God when we humble ourselves and we confess with our mouth that He is God and there is no other God, but that we humble ourselves and we get on our knees and we spend time in prayer and we spend time in God's Word, but that when we are raising our children in every aspect of our lives, we're living out our faith. And folks, I want to tell you, in Christendom, that's one of the things that's a disappointment today in the American church in many cases, is we're very religious in the sense, especially in the South, is that we grew up going to church, or it's a tradition that we go to church. It's something we do. But it's not necessarily like throughout the rest of our areas of our lives and the rest of the week that it's like that's a primary focus of our life, is about our relationship with God. We kind of compartmentalize that we do these things on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and for a few, maybe on Wednesday night, but the rest of the week, we just have to live our lives and try to work through surviving. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just survive. And I hear people all the time talking about the fact, well, I'm here, you know, and that's a survivalist mode. We all go through some difficult times, but I want to be victorious. I want to overcome the things of this world. I want to overcome sin. I know I can't do that in my own strength and in my flesh, but through the power of God dwelling within me and the Spirit of God leading me and the Word of God directing me, I know I can be victorious. And so part of that is taking that Word and letting the Spirit teach us the word and give us understanding of the word and then living it out in our daily lives. And so let's begin in verse 4 of chapter 6 in Deuteronomy. The scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, we know that historically this was it's a confession of the Jews. It's called the Shema. It means basically to hear the word of God. And then, you know, we're good at listening a lot of times to the word of God, but it goes deeper than just listening. You know, if you're truly listening, is that you hear what someone is saying to you, and then you contemplate on that, and then you respond according to the leading of the Lord in that, especially when we're responding to God. And so here he's telling us, hear that there is one God, and that we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. You know, I think back to when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees, and he told them there this very thing. He says, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, he quoted this as the first commandment. He said, there's a second that's something like it and kind of grows out of that, is that we also love our neighbor as ourselves. And what Jesus was referring to is our first commitment, our first relationship is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're raising children and you're talking about being a Christian home, it's not the responsibility of the pastor and the associate pastors and the children's ministers and student ministers and Sunday school teachers. It's not their primary responsibility to point your children to God. We come alongside you to help you with that. But that primary responsibility begins in the home. It begins with the parents. And men, I want to say that primarily it begins with you, is that one, you're in God's word and you're helping your wife to grow in her relationship too and encouraging her. And I know a lot of times for us, it's the other way around. The wives are challenging us is, have you read your Bible this week? Have you been in the word? Have you spent time in prayer? But we need to step up and take that responsibility to hear the word of God and then teach that word to our spouses and also to our children. And so as we look at this, I want you to think about the fact that today it's, and I grabbed the wrong message today. It's in my office. It's all right. Is I was in a hurry and I grabbed the wrong one. But here's the thing, is about 85% of homes where the father's not in the home, the children have troubles in school and staying in school or graduating school. About 90% of the homes where the father's not in home, and when I say this, he may be in the home physically, but he's not the leader of the home. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're so worried about taking care of things financially and all these other things that you're doing for yourself and other things that you're not focusing on your child, so you're like an absentee father. It's about 90% of those homes is the kids getting alcohol or drugs. And about 70% of them are incarcerated at some point or another, whether it's in jail or it's in prison. And so what I'm talking to you about is one of the most important things the Lord has given you outside of your relationship with him and each other is your children and how we need to pour into our children. And it starts with having a heart for God ourselves. In verse 6, he said, "And these things which I command you today shall be in your heart." You know, we can say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a follower of God, I go to church, I'm in Sunday school, I worship, I serve maybe in some way in the church and all these things. But you know what? Is your children know you outside of God and your wife better than anybody. They see you day in and day out. And with that, they know whether you actually try to live out God's word and apply it or not based on the way you treat them and respond to them and your relationships you have with them, as well as the relationship you have or don't have with God. And so if we're going to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we need to first have a heart for God. And so with that, we need to be focused on that relationship with Him. He's telling us here that it's important that that be our first and primary commitment. Now, for the Jews, they recite this a couple of times a day as part of the Shema in saying they're committed to God. As Christians, we may not say this several times a day, but we should say it basically with our lives louder than we do with our voices by the people around us not questioning, well, you know, I'm not sure if that person's a believer or not. You know, you ever been there and you meet somebody or you work with somebody and that you hadn't had long discussions with them, but in the course of your conversation, it's like, you know, this person may be a believer. I'm not sure. It could just be they grew up in the South and they went to church as a kid and they know all the language and they know everything about what they're supposed to believe, but they don't really have a relationship with Christ. But you know, what's very clear is, and it's laid out in the scripture to us, is we're following the Lord and we're applying His word to our lives. The fruits of the Spirit will bear out and the Spirit will bear witness that we are believers. And so with that we are faithful to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Because let me just say this too, is if you're not in a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not in the Word on a daily basis, you're not spending time in prayer and letting Him speak and pour into your life through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, if you're not doing those things, then you're not going to want to teach this to your children. I told you last week I can't do much of anything without my wife, and I do appreciate her. As we were coming up this morning, it was one of those things, well, have you done this and you done that? And it's all about preparation for everything related to today and trying to protect people. And I finally told her, I can't get task-oriented to get focused on worshiping. And I got so focused on worshiping, I didn't do the one task was get the right sermon information out here. But the thing is we have to have a heart for God ourselves. And you know something, folks? You can't fake that with your wife, men. You can't fake that with your children. You might fool people at the church that see you a couple times a week or a couple times a month, but you're not going to fool your home. You're not going to fool God. And so the first thing about this is that we make a commitment to give our hearts to the Lord and commit ourselves fully to God. The second thing is a heart to teach our children, because it says here in verse 7 in the first part of it, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Now, what's it talking about, teach them? Is you'll teach the commandments of God. You know, when you think back to the disciples and Jesus had told them when He was preparing to leave, He said, if you love me, you will obey my word. And also, if you love me, you will love one another. But He says also, you'll be faithful to teach and proclaim my word. And you know what, folks? If we're a disciple of Christ and we're living a committed life to Christ, is the very first ones that we're going to try to pour into and teach is the ones we've got the most time with us, our children. You know, the hardest thing as a pastor a lot of times today is that as we live in a time now where there's so many demands administratively that tie up so much of your time that has really and truly nothing to do with spiritual growth, really so much for yourself or unfortunately for others. And to try to be that shepherd and to try to pour into the lives of men and women and help make disciples by teaching them God's word and helping them grow and understand God's word and get that application in their lives, because you're busy. And then on top of that, those you're trying to minister to and those you're trying to pour into are busy. But let me just say this, it doesn't happen if you don't intentionally make the time and set aside a time. And so men, I'm going to challenge you today. I am willing to pour into you, and there are others here willing to pour into you to help you to learn and grow in your understanding of God's word and grow in the application of God's word so that you can then go back and share that with your wife and with your children in the home. But if you want that, I'm going to ask you at the end of the service just to come forward at some point. We're not going to have an invitation like we normally do. But just, I'll wait down here and you come and tell me, preacher, I would like to have a time where we can meet and study God's word today together and do this regularly so that I can then go back and teach this to my children and I can teach this to my wife and that I can grow as I'm learning God's word and I can learn how to live God's word out. It's not easy every day to get up and walk and be obedient to the Lord because our flesh is pulled in so many ways in the world. But you know what? We remain babes in Christ quite often because all we're worried about is feeding flesh and self. And we're not focused on Him. But here he says we have to have a heart for God and we have to have a heart to teach our children as well. And we got to be diligent, meaning we've got to consistently do that. We need to set aside a time. And I just want to tell you, as we're talking about this, it's good to have a family devotion time. And I say that kind of like this. It's good to have it if you understand really what you're coming together for. And what I mean by that is sometimes in homes, people get so dogmatic about it being the ritual and we got to do it and we got at this certain time, we got to do it. And you got to plan a time, understand that. But you got to have enough flexibility in it that you can alter that a little bit for the sake of your family and your well-being of your family. But the other thing is that with kids, they learn a lot differently than adults. So you've got to take time and you've got to make it very simple, which the gospel is a simple message. But you also need to be patient with them. But let me just say this too, is too often I see Christians that look like they've just been covered in embalming fluid. Is they got the, like this big old just look on their face. It's like bland or a frown on their face. And they're afraid to laugh. And they're afraid to smile. And you know the thing about it is, God has a sense of humor. And we need to bring that out in our application of His Word in our lives and living it out is to also have a sense of humor with our kids sometimes. Not, everything doesn't have to be a joke. But what I'm saying is you can get so rigid that you turn your children away from God and the Word of God because all they think is He's this far away distant God and we've got to be so scared of Him we can't even look up and smile. That's not the way it is. Part of living it out and teaching your children is that you do that through your daily life. It is extremely important that if you're going to teach them about Christ, you need to teach them the truths of God's word. That's why I'm offering to you today, especially you gentlemen, that if you want to meet together and you want to learn God's word and you want to be mentored and encouraged and discipled, I'll be glad to take the time and set aside to do that and help you with that. I know Brandon will as well. But the other part of that is, as we're going to get to in just a second, is in living that out with them. Because you see, we need to teach them from God's word, but we need to teach them too from life experiences. We need to teach them from our relationship with the Lord, how the Lord has blessed in our lives before, maybe how He's chastened us at times when we strayed. And as we're doing that, I think about how when Jesus was teaching, how quite often He used things around Him, the birds and the fields around Him and the fish and all those things that He used to bring out everyday life examples. You know, we love the story of the one who sowed the seed and those who harvest the seed and those stories. But He was using everyday life examples that we too then need to use with our children to explain to them so they can see and they can understand and begin to see what it means about living out your faith. And so we have to have a heart for God, but we also have to have a heart to teach our children. But we have to have a heart to live our faith out for Christ. And I'm talking a lot about heart, because when you talk about heart, what we're talking about here is really about will. We're talking about surrendering our will to the will of God, and then we're following His will for our lives, and then we're making conscious choices to say, I'm going to follow You, Lord. Brother Glenn and I were joking earlier. He's tried several times a day. As we've said, we're not going to shake hands. We're not going to hug. We're not going to greet in those ways. I mean, we're raised in the South. As me and I usually, you know, you put your hand out and you're ready to greet somebody or hug a lady on the side or something, you know, and those things. And he's put his hand out a couple of times. And I hadn't fallen for it. He said, you're determined you're not going to do it, aren't you? I said, well, here's the thing, brother. It's just like sin. If you're not in the Word, and word is not being applied in your life, and you're not preparing yourself, knowing your common vulnerabilities that you normally have fallen into in the past, Satan is a liar and a deceiver seeking to trip us up, to cause us to stumble and fall into sin, and that with that, he will go right to our weakness, and he'll take something that simple that's your common everyday response, and he'll use that, and you're in sin. And see, we can use examples that simple and that easy in teaching our children about applying the Word of God in their lives. Being prepared ahead of time rather than responding out of just being everyday life and the business of life, that's when we stumble and fall. But when we take the time to be in God's Word and we're preparing our lives and we're preparing our children, they too will then have a better chance of not stumbling back into sin in those ways, so easily being snared by the evil one. It says not only that, but also we need to have a heart to practice what we preach. It says, "You shall, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, I know for a lot of us, it may sound a little weird that we would write the Word of God on us somewhere, or we'd have it on us somewhere written, or we'd have it in our homes. But let me just say this. You can tell a lot about a person's relationship with the Lord when you walk into their home. Never having met them before when you walk into the home. Sadly, we have a lot of Christian homes where when you walk into the home, you may find a stack of rated R movie DVDs and things piled up there. Or you may find entertainment games for adults only, for these video games stuff that's all about murder and all these kind of things that shouldn't be really even in our homes. And people say, it's just a game. But your children are being exposed to that, and we wonder why the crime rates are so high with guns today, because you're at those games, playing with those games, killing people over and over again. The object is to see how many you can kill in some of these games. And then they go out and pull a gun, on a real gun, and shoot somebody, and they don't realize you don't just hit reset and they come to life. That life's gone. There's things like that in our home that we need to remove from our home. The other thing is maybe to have scripture posted on your wall. You know, you can go to Hobby Lobby and places, and I don't get paid for advertising this, but they got all kinds of things. You can go out there and put scripture in your home. You know, you can have it there, would it be a reminder to you and to your children. You know, we see a lot about Josh says, "As for this house, we're going to serve the Lord." Well, we say that and we post that around, but then we need to live that out too, where that the children and everything we do in life, they see that as a part of who we are. You know, as he's talking about that when we're at the ball field, as we were with the kids at Good News Club the other day, we were reciting the Lord's Prayer. We've been learning the Lord's Prayer there. And I was telling my group of kids, I said, you know, I remember as a 9-year-old boy, my daddy was not a believer. He was not a religious man. But when he began to coach and he had the responsibility for these kids, the first thing he thought about was what his mama taught him, the Lord's Prayer. Before every practice, and after every practice, and before every game, and after every game, we recited the Lord's Prayer. When I coached Garrett Little League, we recited the Lord's Prayer. I prayed for those kids every time we met. There were parents that said, "I want my son to play for your team because I want them around that environment." Not somebody cussing and screaming and yelling and hollering at them, but exemplifying Christ. I know some of you don't like to hear this. There's a coach over here about 90 miles away. The kids are coming from all over the country to want to play football. It has nothing to do about them winning national titles directly. They may want those things, but what they're wanting is to learn how to be men and men of God. And they're wanting to come where they can know that they're going to be encouraged to live out their faith. But too often when we get in these arenas, we cower down to what will people think. Will somebody get upset? I had a young Mormon boy that was on that team, and I didn't know. But I just knew I'm coaching this team, and if this doesn't work, we can try to help get him on another team if they don't want him around this. But do you know his parents were thankful that he was on our team? Now, the first time I said something about it, I said, I want to invite all of you to VBS, and we're having VBS next week. We won't have practice. A little hand went up, and he said, what's VBS? And I thought, well, he doesn't know because they don't experience that. So I explained it to him and invited him to come. But you know, if we're going to live out our faith and live it out with our kids, we're going in situations like that, we have opportunities, not trying to push any agenda at all, but just being who we are. Just here at county council meetings here recently, what's going on when someone prays in the name of Christ and someone comes and says, I'm offended that you prayed in that name. We're not there to offend, but the word of God is an offensive weapon. We know that there are those that stand against God, and with that they're offended when his name is lifted up. But we're to shine light on the darkness. And to do that, we need to do that in our homes. We need to do that with our kids when we're walking with them in life and the things we're doing. We need to do that when we're sitting in the home and we're teaching them and we're praying together. We need to do that when we're putting them down to bed at night. When we get up in the mornings to thank the Lord that we survived the night before, that we've got breath, that we've got a day before us he's given us. And what does he have in store for us today? And let me just say this too, and thinking about this too, is when we read in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, as they were facing persecution, things were happening there, is that it says that people were coming to faith and the church was being added to daily. You know, when I look around, I don't see our church changing on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. And a lot of times I see many of the same faces here, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness. But what's missing is we need to be teaching our children and our grandchildren is that we need to be loving our neighbors is the second part of that commandment that Jesus talked about when he said these are the two greatest commandments, is that we love our neighbors enough to go next door and to build a relationship with them and to tell them about Jesus and to invite them to come to the house of God, that they can hear the word of God, and that we invite their children to come to Awana's, and we bring our children with their children to Awana's so that they can come together and they can hear the word of God. It's called evangelism. It's a simple thing. We make it extremely hard, but it starts in the home with our children and doing those things and taking them with us as we go and teaching them how to share their faith, how to share their testimony. And that we do that and we as role models to them, and then that we encourage them to do that with their friends as well. You know, people say, well, they took prayer out of school. No, Christians quit going to the school and praying in the school. We have all kinds of opportunities to be in the school. And I know right now with coronavirus, they've shut down the visitation, a lot of things. But we've got Good News Club. There's opportunities for mentoring. There's opportunities to serve in other ways. It's not a matter Christians can't be in the school and that you can't get prayer in school and that you can't build relationships, share the gospel. It's we've used that as an excuse for so long that we're just fine using an excuse. But let me just say this. A lot of times you have some of those kids in the school in your homes. They spend a night with your kids that come to birthday parties and all those things. Are you taking time during those times to pray and be thankful for your child and for their birthdays and those kind of things and acknowledge those that have come and the relationships you have, praying for them and pouring the word of God out over them, inviting them to come and hear the word of God and sharing your faith with them as you have opportunities to build relationships? That's how we continue with evangelism. Person to person, teaching our children sharing. Listen, I'll never forget when we were at Forestville years ago, we had an old white Chevy van, and Aaron wanted to invite a friend. And we were going to Awana's or something there, and as they were having it, it's like, I heard Aaron in discussion in the back there. And she had just made a commitment to give her life to the Lord just a few weeks before. And she starts talking, she says, Daddy, this little girl, and I can't remember her name at the moment, she said, I've been telling her she wants to ask Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. She's back there sharing the gospel to her at about 8 or 9 years old. And folks, that comes from living your faith together with your kids, them seeing how to do that, learning how to do that, and then turn around and replicating what they've learned. That's discipleship. It begins in the home. and it continues throughout with the church as well. But for practicing what we preach, I was talking about, it's not typical that we see those phylacteries that they do with the Jews to hang on their hats and hang around them and everything. But let me just say this. What we always need to do is keep God in front of us and the Word of God in front of us and our hearts turned towards Him. And as parents, we need to be doing that in front of our children and with our children. And we need to be praying over them that the Lord would draw them to Himself and save them and then teach them too how they can then reproduce by sharing their faith with those around them. It's not that hard. But what it does take is a firm commitment to Christ. It takes a firm commitment to family. And it takes a firm commitment to just being faithful to love the Lord and love your children and love those around you that they too may see Christ in you and lived out through you. When I think about that, I only have two children, but I feel like I have a lot of spiritual children in the sense of many that have come along through our children and through the church. We've had opportunities to either lead to faith or pour into once they come to faith. And so when I look at them, I don't look at them as like, that's somebody else's child. I look at them as if they're my child. Miss Ann, I see you nodding your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Is because you love them in a sense just like you love your children because you love them through the eyes of Christ. And as you do that, you continue to have relationship with them, even as many of them are grown now, and they still talk to you about things in their lives and things that they're praying about, those kind of things. And folks, that is such a blessing. But it started with a relationship in your home quite often. And then it leads over into the church home. As we close today, I just want to challenge us is that we remain faithful to listen to God and His leading in our lives. As husbands and wives, we listen to each other. Certainly that we forgive each other when there's a problem between us. And the other thing, too, is we submit to the Lordship of Christ in our life first and foremost. And then we look at the Lordship in the home, too, of the husband as a spiritual leader and the wife come along with the husband to help in that role of serving in the family and helping lead in spiritual leadership in that family together. And then finally, that we teach that next generation. As we look around here today, there's roughly about 90 to 100 people here today, and our numbers are down. But, you know, I think about this is if we don't teach our children and our grandchildren about Christ, and if we don't witness to them and they don't come to Christ, we're one generation away from there being nobody here and the door's closed. And I'll tell you, the world would absolutely love that. And it's hard when the evil one in the system of the world comes against us. But as Debbie's saying, great is thy faithfulness. And greater is he who dwells within me than the one who's in the world. And so we need to humble ourselves today and acknowledge that relationship with him. Right where you're at, I'm just going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just pray now, and maybe you're saying, you know, preacher, I've never done this with my children, or it's too late. It's never too late. Start today and just ask the Lord to help you and to guide you. And then openly live out your faith with your children. Understand, and we're not talking about perfection here and the fact that we know we're not perfect. But be real with your children, too, to say, listen, I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me, and maybe I need to ask you to forgive me as well. But I'm trying, and I'm seeking to be obedient to him. That's my desire, is to please him and to obey him, and for you, too, to know him as Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you for each home that's represented. For each parent that's here today, or grandparent, Lord, that we all have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that we can love and pour into and share the Word of God and live our faith out with and before as well, Lord, that they too might know you. And Lord, that's our heart's prayer today, is that our children and grandchildren would come to faith in you. Lord, that they would not stray and wander in this world, Lord, following false idols and false gods, but they would be saved, and Lord, that we would be together with you forevermore. not only our children, Lord, but many others as well through the witness and testimony. As we read about Jesus and praying his for his own disciples in a high priestly prayer in John 17. Lord, may you be lifted up and glorified today. And may we respond in a way to do that just now. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand? David's going to sing. As she finishes, I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm going to wait up here. If you want to talk, I'll be glad to talk to you.